You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Georgina Bauer, a landmark figure for LGBTQ plus rights in New Zealand, passed away earlier this week. She was both the world's first transgender mayor and first transgender MP, and campaigned relentlessly to push forward over the course of her life. I spoke to Gresham Bradley, head of the Rainbow New Zealand charity, about her life and legacy.
Well, you just said it, the world's first. She broke so many barriers. This woman was extraordinary. Once you break that kind of barrier in a place like Carterton, a rural community, where you earn the respect of farmers, of people in a small town who vote for you as a mayor and who still hold her in high regard, that says a lot about the person. It says a lot about the way she performed her role. The fact that they then, in the whole of the Wairarapa, voted her as their MP, where she went on to lead this country into passing any number of extraordinary pieces of legislation, prostitution reform, where she openly in Parliament declared herself as a former prostitute. Now, just think of the courage that takes at the time. Now we don't think anything of it, but my God, at the time, to actually open in Parliament, openly declare yourself as a former prostitute when you're trying to get a piece of legislation that makes that legal, good Lord. She was the person who went forward and helped us get the Civil Union Act passed so that people of same sex could get married, well, almost married. She was a key part behind the scenes of actually getting the Homosexual Marriage Act passed. This was groundbreaking stuff all the way through her whole political career. And the list is huge. I mean, you just have to go on to Wikipedia, and anyone who does so, and I recommend that your listeners do, go on to Wikipedia and read her story. It is amazing.
Yeah, you mentioned that she won both a mayoral race and parliamentary race in the Wairarapa, which is typically a right-leaning kind of electorate back in the late 90s and early 2000s. How groundbreaking was this for a trans person to be able to do this? And how do you think public support for trans people has changed over the past 20 years since?
Oh, I'd say it's a slow-moving process. It's like watching an iceberg melt. Georgina was the tip of that iceberg. There is a lot of ice underneath that we still don't see. This is the new front line for the LGBTQI plus community. It really is. The battles that we gay men, lesbians fought all those years ago that are to some degree won, not 100% by any stretch, are the battles that transgender people are now fighting front on. They are the people who are on the front lines. They are the ones facing the discrimination. You can see it today. You can see that the war is in full swing. It's not over by any stretch of the imagination. And sadly, some of it is actually coming from within our own community. The TERFs, many of them are lesbians, who don't accept that trans men to women are in fact women. You can see it within the sporting communities. All sorts of fights are going on still in recognition of trans people. There's just deep-seated prejudice, refusal to accept, to understand the multifaceted issues around varying forms of sexual identity.
Yeah, you mentioned the kind of resurgence or, I guess, continued kind of transphobia in, I guess, both the far right and within movements like TERFs. After decades of progress, there's still work to be done. What do you think still needs to be done moving forward for LGBTQI plus people in this country?
More people visible, more organisations, corporates doing the work. I think that's happening. Things where, like acceptance of the new pronoun systems, that gives visibility to a significant degree. I think that very large organisations that accept and welcome trans people within their organisations, that's really important. And I would say that I have first-hand knowledge of some of this within, for example, police, who are actively supporting their trans people in their organisations. And I've met several of them, and I know the hard work that's going on within police to do that. And there are many other organisations who are doing it, but when police do it, that shows that it is happening, and it's happening within the big corporates as well. It's happening within large companies like engineering organisations, and we see it at the Trust mainly through our scholarship programs, because we see an increasing number of our students in entering first year studies in universities and polytechnics who are identifying as trans. And these students are being welcomed by the scholarship support, scholarship sponsors as their students. And some of them are saying, we want these students to be part of our future employees. So you can feel the change happening inside some of these very large corporates.
I think finally, as someone who knew her and is head of Rainbow New Zealand, what do you think Baia's legacy as a campaigner, politician and person is?
Because she was there, because she did what she did, people like Georgina do not... their legacy does not disappear. Her name will live for a very long time. She is a figurehead. She leaves a legacy. It is huge. The people who knew her, the work that she did lives on. She will, I can't say live forever, but you know what I mean. She leaves a huge, huge, huge... I've got to say legacy again. The work she did, oh my God. I don't think we'll see anyone quite like her again, with that pride, that strength, that clarity of mind, the willingness to stand up, to take the sticks, the stones that were thrown at her, and to throw them back and achieve the goals that she set out to achieve. She was one of a kind, and she won't be forgotten.
That was Gresham Bradley on the legacy of Georgina Baia.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.